Our text is Deuteronomy 5:20 and Proverbs 6. Looking first at Deuteronomy, where the ninth commandment is given, we read these words, "And you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Then if you'll turn to the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that haste to run to evil, false witness, who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." God's holy and infallible word. Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we come to the study of the ninth commandment, and in particular as it reflects that same truth in Proverbs, I had to chuckle in my own mind. I guess you can chuckle in your mind. Over the fact that providentially the Lord would bring our study of this particular commandment to today, just before the election on Tuesday. Because I think in the last several months, bearing false witness has been pretty prevalent, wouldn't you say? On the television, in the advertisements. I've seen ad after ad that uses the word liar. Liar! Liar. Those words are just thrown out. They're never defined. They're thrown out as one candidate tries to castigate another candidate. And lest we simply step back and say, what good people we are that we're not like that, let me remind you that this study of this commandment really applies to us as well. I'm not just preaching against politicians, just saying that it just seems rather providential that this study and that this heightened awareness of lying coalesces in the same time period and comes together today. We've been looking at the Ten Commandments as we study Deuteronomy. Now we come to the last of the commandments, and if you group them together, some have said that the last three commandments are all rather spectacular, and they deal with spectacular sins. Well, I'm sorry, the three previous. And it's almost anticlimactic to talk about a simple thing like a lie because, well, I guess you could say we're so used to it. You know, it's not a real spectacular thing anymore. We hear about people on the news, or we hear about people that we know, or maybe we look closely at our own hearts, which we should, and lying doesn't seem to have that same spectacular aspect to it as sticking a knife into someone and slitting their throat, murdering them, you know, committing adultery, stealing billions of dollars and becoming a great notorious criminal. And then there's this commandment: you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Oh, lest we think this one's an easy commandment, let me remind you that, first of all, spectacular is not a category that we should attach anyway to the commandments. The real category that we ought to attach to all of the Ten Commandments is a great seriousness, because it's a terrible thing not only to commit adultery, not only to steal, not only to kill, but it is a terrible thing to lie. God forbids it in His Word. When you look at the Heidelberg Catechism, it says in a very stern phrase, the liar comes under the heavy wrath of God. That sounds rather stern. But we treat lying, it's so common. Our perspective on lying is that it's not really that bad of a thing to do. And the thing is this, we need to get a perspective on lying not from our own society, because if we did that, we would then lie all the time. If we got it from our own consciousness, we might lie more frequently. But where should our perspective develop? From where should we get a perspective on lying? We need that from the Word of God. We come then to the ministry of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God each Lord's Day to get our perspectives changed and straightened out. Because what happens because of sin, our perspective on things gets bent in this sinful world, because we're also sinful as well. Our perspective needs to get straightened out by the word. When I think of straightening something out, I get this old memory that comes back of my grandpa up on Potato Shed Road when I was about 5, 6, 7 years old. He put me to work, gave me a tin coffee can full of nails. They were all bent, handed me a hammer, and he looked at me as he sternly did, and he said, "Your job is to straighten those nails out." You know, I was a city boy. I thought, this is the most useless thing in the world. Just go buy new. You know, but obviously, I was a different generation. And I took that hammer and I bent them, but no matter what I did, that nail never, ever got straightened out like a new one. I just couldn't do it. But our perspective is like that. It's bent by sin. We're like a bent nail. We need to come to the Word of God each week and get hammered on, straightened out by the Word of God. And that's one of the things that we have in that word reformed. We need to be reformed by the Word, because we are sinful and continue to be deformed because of that sin. And our perspective needs to be bent back, sometimes hammered back by the Word of God, into shape. That may sound easy, but the more you have your perspective bent, the more your nail is crooked, or your worldview, or your own life, the more willing you are to shade the truth, the more willing you are to believe a lie, the less willing you are to have your perspective straightened out by the Word of God to hear what the Bible says about lying and liars, the more you're going to have problems, and your life isn't going to be as God wants it to be. You need to cultivate the habit of that attendance upon the Word of God and hearing that truth of God, so that your perspective is hammered out and straightened by God's Word. And so we turn to the Bible to help us straighten out our perspective on lying this morning. What does it say? Going back to our text in Proverbs that applies the commandment, the 9th commandment, which says you shall not bear false witness. What is it that God hates? The writer of Proverbs, he clumps it together with 7 things. And he says there are these 7 that are an abomination to God: a lying tongue, and then he ends it with a false witness, both having to do with lying. That's what God thinks about the matter of lying and liars. They're an abomination. You may have heard the expression, God hates the sin and he loves the sinner. But what does Proverbs 6 say? God hates the lie and he hates the liar. See, there's no biblical truth to that phrase, God hates the sin and loves the sinner, unless the sinner is hidden in Jesus. It says here that God hates the lying tongue, and that sinner is going to languish in hell for all eternity. God hates the lying tongue. He hates the false witness. That's where liars stand with God, unless they are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Proverbs says the false witness will not be unpunished. You can see that all throughout Scripture. God hates lies, he hates liars, and liars will go to hell. There is no such thing as a person who goes on and is committed to the willingness to be a liar, and he just gets a free pass and goes to heaven. The Bible's clear. No unrepentant adulterer, no unrepentant murderer, no unrepentant liar goes into heaven. Heaven's going to be populated by all kinds of people who have done all kinds of those things, but every last one of them is going to be covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed of sin, and walking then in a way of holiness, as David did after his sin with Bathsheba. He was renewed and cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that would come. And he cried out, "Make a new heart within me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." And David is an example, even in the Old Testament, of a sinner saved by grace. He didn't stay unrepentant. He repented. And that's what we need to do when it comes to lying. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Well, why is a lie so bad? Why is this commandment even in this Ten Commandments? There shall be no false witness. Well, there are three reasons for a lie being so bad. First of all, it's the sin of hypocrisy. Quite simply by its nature, it's hypocrisy which God hates. A lie is what a person covers up and won't admit to. But secondly, it has its roots in Satan, the enemy, whom Jesus says is the father of lies. You see, when you lie, you're identifying yourself with Satan. When you lie, you're identifying yourself with God's enemy, the one who despises God. That's why God despises the lie, because it's the work of the devil. It's the enemy of God. And when you make the lie a part of your life and you let it go and do not repent of it, you're serving the enemy. Big lies, all lies, white lies, small lies. Lying is joining yourself to the enemy's camp. It has its roots in Satan. But when you look at it from the other side, thirdly, God honors the concept of truth. That's why a lie is such a hypocrisy. You can summarize the Christian gospel itself in the word truth, the truth as it's revealed in the Word of God, the written Word of God, where it says Jesus went to the cross. Where do you find that? You find that in the written Word of God. And that truth revealed in the Word of God about a sin bearer who would come for his people and bear the wrath of God upon their sin is found in God's Word, his truth. And Jesus came to fulfill that truth. Jesus came into this world to live that truth. Jesus came and faithfully carried out everything he did in accordance with God's Word, because his Word, he says, is truth. And you can count on it if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He'll then give you, because his word says so, that perfect righteousness that's yours, that cleansing power and forgiveness, because whatever is revealed in the word of God is true. Truth is from God. Lies are from the enemy, and we reveal our allegiance to one or the other when we stand for truth or if we commit a lie. Your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in your willingness to stand for truth, or it reveals your willingness to compromise and serve the enemy when you lie. Some of the ways in which that commandment is broken. How do you see it broken? Many ways. First of all, every departure from truth, whether we color the truth, we twist the truth, we tinker with the truth, whatever we do to bend the truth is a departure from that standard, which is truth. And the standard is, of course, God. In Deuteronomy 19, there's an extended passage in which Moses applies this commandment to what happens in a courtroom. And there it says that if someone goes into court and commits perjury, that's when you lie under oath, or break some other civil law, that person who does that is to be penalized. And he is penalized so that, and this is what Deuteronomy 19 says, that another person will not be tempted in the future to commit that sin. That's how God's word and his law works. It tells the righteous people what to do and what not to do, so that unrighteous and sinful people will see that example and will live if they are brought into the kingdom in the light of that truth. But people use truth and lie today by blending them and mixing them. You know, it's not only in the realm of politics, but politics is our favorite whipping post in these days, up until and perhaps even after the election, and depending on what happens on the election on Tuesday, perhaps for another 2 years, we don't know what we're going to be subjected to. But truth and lie, how do you tell what one person is saying is true and what another person is saying is not? I think you probably have had that same experience if you had teenagers. Or I think you also had that experience if you were a teenager. And you were. And the sinful heart that's represented here by each and every one of us knows that we are guilty of blending truth and lie, mixing them together. Why do we do that? We want to accomplish our purpose. So a little bit of truth and a little bit of a lie makes us look good. Unfortunately, I didn't grow up in a home where that mixture was well thought of or easily used. It was interesting how discerning my parents were. If you had that experience with children, being a child, with your children, grandchildren even, you know, they try to pull a fast one on you. That's blending the truth with a lie. They fudge it a little. You know, they don't tell the whole truth. Or they hear what someone else has said and they lie and think it's okay because their friend did it and they haven't had that conviction in their own heart yet of the fact that they shouldn't do it. We see it all the time. We blend truth and the lie, but it only serves the purpose of the individual that does it. The world tells us that that's okay. We see it all the time. In fact, the world tells us that truth is not some standard, but truth is really whatever you want it to be. So today we have people who even say this: you have your truth and I have my truth. Well, that's pretty ridiculous because when it really comes to application, that person's truth usually will infringe on my rights, and my truth will say you can't infringe on my rights, and now we have war or conflict. You see, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. There is God's truth, but the world doesn't want that. The world wants truth to be some relative, plastic, pliable thing that can accomplish what the world wants to accomplish and serve the purpose of what the world that we live in wants to accomplish and advance their own cause. But in contrast, we have the Christian's truth. Where do we find that? In the Word of God. And that Christian truth has a purpose. That Christian truth tells us to advance a cause, but that purpose is to glorify God. That advancing the cause is to advance the cause of the kingdom of God, because it's when God's kingdom is advanced, then God comes and blesses what's right, and he never blesses what's wrong. He will never bless disobedience, and he will never bless a lie. That's a basic Christian concept. He blesses righteousness. And therefore, the Christian must bear witness to the truth of God's word as it reflects the righteousness of God and believe it. And when we believe it, God blesses it. And if that's true, then we need to practice this in the little areas of life where socially, if I always tell the truth, I might lose a friend. Well, what are you depending on for your friendship? Your friend or God? The blessing of God or the manipulation of truth and error, which means you're depending on the enemy. Remember, if you commit a lie or you don't follow the truth, you have aligned yourself with the camp of the enemy, who is the father of lies. If we try to maintain friends by telling lies or even living a lie, that friendship is maintained by an appeal to the father of lies. If we really have a friendship with someone, we ought to be honest with them and speak honestly with them, because that relationship needs to be built upon truth. It needs to, not only relationships, but in the business realm, we need to have a business and carry on our business affairs and our life according to the realm of truth. Apply that to your income tax. Apply that to your business. Shady dealings occur all the time, don't they? That's a lie. You know, they pay them under the table. That's a lie. They extort by charging too much. There's nothing wrong with making a profit, but by charging too much, it's a lie. By not disclosing something. You know, if you buy a house, you've got to go through paperwork. Like you can't believe. And they tell me, I did it when I signed on my house and my arm was tired because I had paperwork upon paperwork upon paperwork, 20, 30 pages. Sign here, sign. What is this? It's a disclosure document. You remember those, right? You have to disclose the radon leak or the fact that the water heater is on its last legs and hiccups and it's probably dead, but you've turned it off. You have to disclose. Gone is the day when you can reach your hand across the table on a bargain like buying a house and shake the hand, and both parties have a relationship built on truth, because look at the cascading effect that that has had in the banks and the financial institutions, the mortgage lender and the title people. They have to have multitudinous sheets of paper, legal documents that say, I'm telling the truth. Self-disclosure. Business. Families need to be built on truth. We need to be honest with one another in our families at home, in our family at church. We need to live a life that's built on truth, because keeping this commandment is fundamental to honoring God. Loving the truth begins with a clear love and appreciation for the sound teaching of the Word of God. The truth can never be separated from Scripture. We find truth only in Scripture. Everything else is a distortion of what God has created. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the truth, and the historic faith is truth. And there is truth you can hold on to. There is truth in Jesus you can believe. There is truth that will stand you in good stead, not only now, but for all eternity. And we hold to the conviction that is born in Scripture, that truth comes from the Word of God. That's a distinctively Christian concept. You remember the politician named Pontius Pilate? Brought Jesus before him. He gave that interesting question. Wonder if other politicians have said it. What is truth? I'm glad that Scripture tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't get more clear than that. Christian understands there is a truth, and in that truth, the central gem that Jesus is the crucified one for sinners, there is hope and salvation for all who believe. Because that's true, you can depend upon it and be saved. You can live in that truth. You can die in that truth. And that's why a Christian loves the truth and hates the lie. And the Christian then is the one who prays, Lord, take this tongue of mine and bring it under the truth, because I depend for eternity in heaven on the truth that you've revealed in your word. And those who you speak to will recognize that you believe the truth when you live the truth and speak it. The Christian loves the truth that shows how bad he is. And he loves the truth that tells him no matter how bad he is in Jesus Christ, who raised him from his awful circumstances in death and sin to newness of life, is able to cleanse and forgive and to restore and to renew in such a way that we will walk with him in the newness of life and according to truth. So make the truth plain in your life, in your speaking. Talk to your neighbor. Make it plain. You know the truth of what it means to be a sinner saved by grace. The message that we have is the truth of that word of the gospel, by which we reach out to the world as dying men to a dying world with a message that Jesus died so that salvation may come to those who believe in him. And if that's all true, we may not for one moment, not for one little white lie moment, speak the lie. But we must follow the truth. It's in the truth that we have everlasting life. Praise God that He has revealed that truth in His Word to your heart today. Amen.